Amen. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and rejoicing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. What a one of the most greatest gifts that God ever gave to mankind. It is the greatest gift. Wow. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. I have 30 minutes to share, and then we're going to go into hearing from the prison crusade when they were down in Florida. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. But just continuing that thought of Christ, the hope of glory, is the title of my message this morning. But just continuing that thought from our worship time, just right into that, right into the Word of God here. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus, to die, to give his life, and that you resurrected him again in the grave. Oh God, we thank you for that. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the resurrection power this morning. Truly, in each of our hearts, we felt that grace this morning already. Of what you've done and given many, many years ago. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can walk in victory this morning, victory in Jesus. The one who comes, the mediator between us and the Father. So thank you, Lord. Lord, I just think of those who are not feeling well this morning. We ask, Lord, that you be with Fanny. We pray, Father, for healing for her, Lord. Give wisdom to Eli and their family, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you be with them. And we just pray, God, for your healing touch on Fanny this morning in the name of Jesus. Also, think of Dave and Julie's son, Micah. Just ask for healing for him with sickness, Father. We pray that you would touch his body this morning, Lord. And maybe there's others here, Father, that I'm not aware of, Lord. Touch them this morning. Heal them. Give them relief, Father. Again, it's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we can even ask this, so we thank you for that. Lord, as we come before you and open up the Word this morning, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to truly receive the true meaning of Christmas and what that means to us and what you intended it to mean. And so, God, we just lay this loaf of bread, this fresh bread before you, Father. We ask that you would multiply it unto our hearts and that we would have understanding even beyond what I can express this morning. So we just commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 2. I intend to read the Christmas story from 1 to, we'll go up to 30-something. So I guess in Christ, the hope of glory. So for us Christians, the best part of the Christmas season here is just to refresh our hearts and just to think about why are we celebrating Christmas? Why are we so joyous singing these Christmas songs? I hope this morning it goes way beyond the gifts that, you know, some of us give to each other in celebration. But it means something to us. It's hopefully we get the true meaning of Christmas and that Jesus did come as a baby to fulfill the plan of God. All right, Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus and that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Keep in mind, this is just a really fast there are happenings that are happening really fast, and there's a lot that happened in between with what we're reading here this morning. So keep that thought and try to visualize what all took place here. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Just think about that. All these great things, she kept them to herself. This was a major, major event. And here was a lady that her womb was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and the child of God was in the womb. And here was Mary, all these great things, and she pondered them, waiting on the Lord. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which is so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now picture with me this morning, Simeon just waiting until he sees that. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Praise the Lord. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I just keep thinking of that. We sang about it this morning, that there was much darkness. And that when Christ came, he was the light. And we sang about the light this morning. When the light came, it changed people, obviously. And how he started out is amazing, with the shepherds, with maybe a lowly, humble young lady that was committed to the Lord, maybe not significant in her community, in her town, but God saw the faithfulness in her and saw it fit to use Mary. But when that light is still going on today, when that light hits our heart, when we embrace that light when walking in darkness, that light brings light to the darkness. Jesus is still that light. But it is interesting what's all packed into verse 32 there. It was also for the Gentiles. It was also for the lowly. It was also for the sinners, the down and outers, and the glory of thy people Israel, 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'm going to just stop there, but praise God. What a story. And I'm not going to unpack it all this morning, but what a story of deliverance, of way back, it will look later on in Isaiah, of the prophecy that was prophesied, and all of a sudden, the moment's here. And I just have to think of, there was probably many people waiting, including Simeon. Many people waiting for the Messiah. And so it is today. We can draw just a very clear parallel. So it is today for us. We are sincerely waiting on the return of Christ. That's what we're preparing for. That's why we're here this morning. We are here to encourage each other. That's why we're worshiping together, because we are we're exalting the Savior, and through that, it encourages our hearts to stay with it, to be faithful. And someday, that moment is going to be, it's here. This is reality. It's happening. Everything we've been waiting for, everything that we heard, everything we've read and prayed for, the moment is finally here. That is so exciting. You know, when I say this, there's also a fear of God in my heart. Because right away you start evaluating, you start looking inward into your heart and say, would I actually be excited if I would know at 3:00 this afternoon, Jesus is coming back and he's going to fulfill all Scripture. Every word in here, he's going to fulfill it. And then it's going to be the end of time. Would I actually be excited about that? I would, but the fear of God. But that's where we need help. That's where the light comes in. Jesus Christ is that light, and he can help us with that. So Jesus came to fulfill the law in our place. Matthew 5:17, I'll just go through some scripture here. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Again, he's our helper. He is for us. He's our shepherd. The second reason, to call sinners to repentance. Mark 2:17, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Praise God. Number three, to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. We're asking, there's a couple reasons here why Jesus came. These are just a few. Mark 10:45, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all, but even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Number four, to save the world. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Another reason is to die. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Number six, to reveal God's glory. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and to express the image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow, Christ our hope. If we don't have hope this morning, we can have hope in Christ. He came to give us hope. So the question always is, why would Jesus come as a baby? I've often wondered that. And I guess we'll hear the rest of the story, but we can read some things which I'll share with you. We can read some things why he came as a baby, but I would like to know a little bit more, and that'll be a fun time to discover that with the saints of God. You think about God did it differently. Adam, assuming, was a full-grown man when he created him. But here he created Christ as a baby. He was conceived in the womb. So why Adam that way? And the first Adam, right, he created as a full-grown man, we assume. That's how we understand it. But in 1 Corinthians 15:45 it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Praise the Lord. So why did Jesus have to come as a baby? Number one reason I'll share with you is to be a king. Jesus came to the earth as a baby, and we sang about this morning, as a rightful heir to the throne of David. That was prophesied by Isaiah, I think it was. "For unto us," we sang about this, "for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The authority of peace, the prince. "Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore." And in Isaiah's prophecy, we see the promise of the birth child as well. Now, would Jesus be the rightful king of the world if he simply materialized on the earth as a bodily man, as a full man? We could say yes, because he's God in the flesh, right? He could have done that. Or the second person of the Trinity. But Jesus has always had divine rights over all humanity. And that's the blessing, the humanity. He's had that divine right. But would he have been rightful to the heir to David's throne? And the answer is no, he would not. That was prophesied about Christ. Only a child born in the line of David could fulfill that role. And so, again, I don't understand all of this, but I know what it says about how it's supposed to happen. We don't understand fully the second coming of Christ, but we have a couple outlines of what we're supposed to be doing in the meantime until Christ returns. But oh, hallelujah, our eyes and our everything will be opened, and then we will understand. God has promised David that he would establish a kingdom, he says, "for your offspring who shall come from your body." 2 Samuel 7:12 says, "And when the days, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of the bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Again, we're looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and why he had to come as a baby. Psalm 132:11, "The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he would not turn from it. Of the fruit of his body will I set upon thy throne." So this future king would be a physical descendant of David, and would establish a king that lasts forever. So Jesus had to be born out of the line of David to take that rightful heir, to be that rightful heir to the throne of David. Number two, the second reason he had to come like a baby was to defeat the serpent. Genesis 3:15, we see that. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This was a famous prophecy right at the beginning of the Bible, where we see the first glimpse of the gospel. And there the serpent appeared to win. But, oh, hallelujah. It was prophesied further. So we know that his death on the cross was a blow. That was a blow to the serpent And but that had to take place. He had to die. It was like the principle of a seed. When you put a seed in the ground, that seed actually dies. And then out of that seed, it germinates life. So the seed of David had to die. And out of that, there was a seed of life and light that was birthed and will forever be that life and light. But we are saved and delivered from the clutches of the enemy. So in order to fulfill that prophecy, Jesus had to be the offspring of the woman and thus had to be born in a natural human way. Number three is to be under the law. Jesus came to the earth as a baby in order to redeem those who were under the law. Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In order to fulfill the law in our place, Jesus had to be subject to the law. And part of that law was coming as a baby. And that means to be fully human. Amazing. To be fully human. Why would a God of the Creator, part of the Godhead, become fully human? It was totally to identify with us, all of us here this morning, to identify with us, and to be and so that we're able to understand it completely. That means that he had to be fully human, made like us in every respect as human beings. And this morning, I wanted to just be clear. I'm not trying to bring us on the same level as God. But I'm talking about he was born in the same way as you and I. I was just reading a story to the children about their journey to Bethlehem. And if I'm not mistaken, it was like 80 miles. Now picture this with me. You're about to give birth and you're riding on a donkey, probably most of the time, maybe not a very smooth ride. You get into Bethlehem and you think, well, there probably should be plenty of room in this little town. It's not one of the major towns, but it is a town. But everyone was asked to come back to their hometown to be taxed. And so you have full confidence that there's probably a shower there. There's probably water there. We can probably get rested up. And they ride into town. I'm just my own thoughts here after reading this story to the children. My own thoughts. So they ride into town and there's people everywhere. I mean, all the houses are filled. Everything is full. There's even some possibly some tents or canopies out in the middle of the town that people just have to make it work. And the only thing left is a stall where the animals are staying in. And you think, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings born in a stable? I can't wait to discover that. Why was that? Why was... They should have been treated like with respect. But there was no room. There was no room. So in every respect, includes being born or being in the womb, being born, experiencing childhood, this is Jesus' life. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of people. So in every respect, he experienced what you and I do. Experienced childhood. Children, he experienced what you experience. Submitting and obeying to his parents. Learning how to work. And perseverance in real life situation. And so, we were talking about this on Wednesday evening of how, going through the series that the world may know, we got into that conversation of how do you think that was? He experienced everything. How did he learn so fast? in 30 years, and then he was prepared for ministry. How so young did he teach? He was almost like a teacher. The one element that I thought of is, and this should be an encouragement to us, he was tempted in all points. So he experienced real life situations and temptations, trials, but yet he never sinned. Sin has its consequences. Sin has a way of locking me in and not allowing me to learn or to grow. And so, in other words, I waste time by being bound up with sin. Jesus didn't have that problem. He was without sin. So I would think, picture when you have clarity of mind, when you're excited and you're anticipating more of God, you can grow. But when sin is in your life, it's hard to move forward. Does that make sense? So he probably just excelled in everything that he did because he had clarity of mind. He was about his Father's business. And so that should be an encouragement to us. He was both a perfect sacrifice for sin and a perfect fulfillment of law's righteous requirements because he, in all his divine perfection, was as a human who was born, lived, and died. Only as God in the flesh could he bear the fullness of God's infinite wrath against sin and provide abundant righteousness to impute to us. So why did Jesus come to the earth as a baby? We heard a couple reasons there. The Bible tells us that Jesus had to be born as a baby to be our king, to be our deliverer, and to be our advocate, our substitute. These are just three reasons that I shared with you at this point. But maybe in conclusion here, and then I want to turn the time over to Mel. One of the things as I read this story here is there had to be some individuals like Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and some that I'm not thinking of right now. There had to be some individuals that were being used by God. It says he was full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost in Mary. There was a few individuals that were faithful that made this come into fulfillment. And I look around at the room this morning. If somehow we could walk faithful like these individuals, could there be a greater harvest for eternity? I'm in one sense encouraging us, but in another sense I'm challenging us. These individuals weren't somebody, they were not celebrities, so to speak. They were not, maybe not even well known. But it took someone for God to work through to fulfill this, what needed to happen. And I guess as I read this story, the Christmas story, it challenged me. And I guess my encouragement to us this morning is, are we dwelling places like these people were for the Holy Spirit to dwell in, that he can freely do with us what he wants to do? Will he excel through us? Will he maybe our focus shouldn't be as much as what he could do through us as how can I just humbly bow before God and give myself? And Mary pondered those things in her heart. Again, I could go into a whole lot of explanation on how that was difficult for Mary and Joseph. Very awkward. Very awkward. She was a virgin. You know what I mean? It's just all those things. Why would God choose something so awkward and difficult for Christ to come to the world? But this morning, I just want to say, if you have any other idea about Christmas, consider what the Christmas story has to offer. And I know that's probably not here. We were just talking about that on Wednesday evening, about how some people would, you know, that believe in Santa and all this and that, and there's just no room for that. This is a celebration of Christ. And anytime you feel pressured over Christmas, you probably have the wrong perspective. Enjoy it. Enjoy the gift. Enjoy the greatest gift that God ever gave us. Enjoy the relationships around you. Forget the gifts if that puts pressure on you. Just enjoy your family, enjoy each other, and enjoy your relationships. And thank God for the greatest gift given to mankind. Brother Mel.